A study of Victorian cancer statistics which has found that a relatively rare form of melanoma is actually responsible for a huge proportion of melanoma deaths. The implication is that if doctors were better at recognising this curious red nodule for what it is, and we fronted up sooner rather than thinking it's just a pimple, more lives would be saved. They're called non-pigmented nodular melanomas. Associate Professor John Kelly has been worried about these atypical melanomas for years. He's director of the Victorian Melanoma Service at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne.
We had a succession of patients presenting with nodular melanomas. They came along with a story that they'd seen the spot develop, they'd been concerned, they'd gone to their doctor, and very often the doctor hadn't picked up on the significance of the nodule. And there was a period of delay before the lesion was cut out and the diagnosis was established by pathology. We were firstly concerned about what the appearances of these were, that they weren't being picked up by the doctors, and this was some 10 years ago we began looking into that. And then we increasingly recognised that these weren't obvious to doctors as melanomas, and we looked further into their characteristics, found that they grew quickly, that their thickness increased at four times the rate of other melanomas. So the penalty for delay was significant. And then we wondered how much impact they were making on mortality, deaths from melanoma, and looked in the Victorian Cancer Registry over a 20-year period and showed that these nodular melanomas are only 13.5% of the melanomas in Victoria. They do account for 43% of the deaths. So they punch well above their weight, and by subtype, they are the most significant contributor to deaths from melanoma or from skin cancer altogether.
So what's the reason for that? I mean, it sounds bleeding obvious. Well, doctors are missing it, it's been picked up late. Or is it that they are aggressive melanomas and you would die of them anyway? You know, it's like the ovarian cancer or pancreatic cancer story where it's still controversial whether picking up either of those tumours would actually make any difference to death rates, even though common sense would tell you that it would. In this case, because it's such an aggressive form of melanoma, is it because of late diagnosis?
It's a bit of both, and you've picked up both of the reasons why this is difficult. It is aggressive, but we have a unique opportunity to see it. It's right on the surface of the skin. It gives patients a feeling. They often know it's there because they can feel it in some way.
I suppose you'd better just give us the typical history.
The typical history is that a small red firm nodule pops up. And to begin with, it's not obviously a cancer, but it does grow quite quickly. There are, of course, a lot of other red nodules that will pop up quickly and typically go quickly. The inflammatory things come and go within a month, but a nodular melanoma will still be growing at a month and continue to grow. And at that point, the person hopefully needs to recognise that this is potentially a cancer and that it needs attention.
And is it on all parts of the skin? I mean, where does it occur most commonly? Is it like melanoma where, apart from the unusual melanomas on the palm of the hand or the sole of the foot or the scalp, but they're mostly on sun-exposed areas, is it true of nodular melanoma as well?
It is true of nodular melanoma. There are some differences. Nodular melanoma has a predilection for the head and neck, and it seems to be more in chronically sun-exposed sites, more in older people, more in men than women, and not in moldy people, as the other kind, as the common kind of melanoma is.
So not so much in Anglo-Irish skin as the other one?
Well, it is Anglo-Irish skin. No, and fair skin is a risk factor for it. Markers of chronic sun damage are more closely associated with it than other forms of melanoma, so longer-term sun exposure may be a factor. But fundamentally, it is sun exposure and it is sun-exposed areas that are at risk, and it most often is head and neck, but can be trunk and limbs.
And could it be found in the middle of an area of sun-damaged skin, which could make it harder to pick out?
No, they usually stand out. They're not hard to see, even in sun-damaged skin.
And do they bleed?
They do. They ulcerate early and they do bleed. And sometimes that can be a helpful tip-off that this is something to pay attention to.
And the treatment's the same, excision and making sure it hasn't spread and then chemotherapy if necessary.
Really, it's excision. And if these can be excised in the first couple of months of their evolution, the great majority of them will be cured and the death rate from nodular melanoma would come down dramatically.
And so the ideal from your point of view is catching it before. I think the threshold is 4 millimetres of thickness is when you really get to high risk.
True. I mean, any increase in thickness is bad and risk is increasing progressively with tumour thickness as it grows, and the earlier it can be found, the better. The challenge with these is that they are growing in depth four times more quickly, so it's important to get onto them early, and the penalty for delay is greater, and the added difficulty of not being obviously a melanoma makes catching it early a bit more of a challenge. So there definitely are challenges.
So when you talk about thickness, you're talking about below the skin. How much is it an iceberg? I mean, how much of this nodule rises above the skin?
It's a little variable, but it's definitely growing in depth as it grows in elevation. So it is elevated. It's a dome-shaped elevated nodule, and it's increasing in elevation. And there is, with that, increasing depth under the skin. You imagine it as a ball with a hemisphere above the surface and one below.
And is there any pain or itching or anything like that?
People do seem to get a sensation from it that they find it hard to describe. It's not quite painful. It's not itchy usually, but they can feel it. Not easy to explain, but a lot of people do notice it.
So the average GP is not necessarily trained in, you know, that little magnifying glass that you use in dermatology to really see the cells in the skin. Does that help?
Yes, dermoscopy is very useful. And the reason it's useful is that the majority of these are substantially not pigmented, but there is pigment if you can look for it closely enough. About a third are completely without pigment. About a third have an element or a focus of pigmentation. And about a third are obviously brown or black. And it's that two-thirds that may have little or no pigment that dermoscopy can help with in identifying very small amounts of pigment that can tip us off to the idea that this is indeed a tumour arising from melanocytes producing pigment.
And if anybody thinks this is empire building on the part of dermatologists, you're somebody who believes that Australian GPs should be all trained in dermoscopy so that they can do it for themselves.
Absolutely. In Australia, we need all clinicians, all healthcare providers, anyone who sees skin, to be aware of these kinds of things. GPs are the front line in this area, and the more they use their dermoscopes in looking at these kinds of things, the more nodular melanomas they can identify.
And before we end, what's the differential diagnosis of a red nodule that might pop up for no good reason?
It's basal or squamous cell carcinoma, and the majority of nodules that will pop up like that are indeed basal or squamous cell carcinomas.
Which are not as immediately nasty as melanoma, but can be.
Still need to be cut out, and usually a doctor can look with a dermoscope particularly and distinguish a squamous cell carcinoma and a basal cell carcinoma immediately from a melanoma by its dermoscopic appearances.
And is there a risk in a doctor doing one of these cauteries on a skin lesion that might have been a nodule or melanoma where you don't have the biopsy to actually check it?
Most certainly. Sometimes these do get frozen with liquid nitrogen or burned with diathermy in the belief that they're some kind of harmless thing, a seborrheic keratosis, and then they grow back. The story we sometimes hear is of thing being frozen or burned, apparently going for a short time and then growing back. And that's a very alarming story and should suggest a skin cancer and possibly a melanoma.
And just now that I've got you, just remind us what the signs of a melanoma itself are, the commoner forms of melanoma which are pigmented.
The commoner forms are called superficial spreading melanoma, and there is also lentigo maligna melanoma on the face. Both are flat patches of pigmentation initially that look like an increasingly ugly mole as they grow bigger, become more irregular in shape, more uneven in colour. And those changes are occurring over a time course of months, so the change may be appreciable over a three-month period, but it's not weeks typically. It's a slower change than you'd see with a nodular melanoma, and it looks like an ugly mole, and it is becoming more ugly with time.
So if somebody's concerned about this, what's the sort of conversation you would like them to have with their GP?
I think it's very important for people to draw their GP's attention, or the attention of whoever it is they're consulting about it, to the time course of the change, the time that it appeared and the change that has occurred since. That is the most important distinguishing feature of a cancer from a benign mole that might have been present a long time or an inflammatory thing that might come and go quickly. So it's a very important aid to your doctor to describe carefully exactly when it appeared and exactly what changes have occurred. Many changes will come and go within a month that are due to inflammation and may look red. It's fine to wait a month. That will exclude the great majority of red spots that are simply inflammation. And if it's still there at a month and it's growing bigger, that's a concern.
John Kelly, thanks for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you, Norman.
Associate Professor John Kelly is Director of the Victorian Melanoma Service at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne. And you're listening to the Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.